Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Hearing our brother talk about the light. This is what God is saying to the church today. He's saying to us as individuals, but he's saying to the whole church, "Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light." God's speaking again about light this morning and freedom and what he wants to do. And in Isaiah 6, which I read a couple of weeks ago, when Isaiah had this incredible vision of God in his holiness and power, and it's like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak together and they have a little council session together. And they say, "Who's going to go for us? Who can we send and who's going to go for us?" And Isaiah hears this voice, this word coming from heaven while he's before the throne of grace. And Isaiah's response is, "Here I am, send me." Do you remember we prayed that dangerous prayer 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Has he been sending you? Have you been sent into different situations? I know I have, and it's getting more dangerous. It means God's doing more. And he's cooking things up. He's turning the heat up. He's turning the fire up. So whatever you do, don't be distracted at this time because of what God wants to do in you and what he wants to do in us as a church. Because this morning when I got up and prayed, I saw, you know when the tide turns, and when the tide sometimes can come in very fast, when a wave comes in, you think it'll only come to there, but it actually comes way beyond you. And the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "This is a time when I'm going to overtake you. Are you ready?" The Holy Spirit is saying, "This is a season when I'm going to come and overtake you." I've been in a situation where my son, Tim, when he was much younger, when we were literally stuck. I mean, you might have heard the story. It's a miracle story when the tide literally overtook us. And I didn't know what I was going to do. But I cried out to Jesus and he rescued me. Literally, it was an amazing thing how we stepped out of those waters when everywhere was over our heads. I had to kind of carry him out as well. And Jesus answered the prayer and put these steps in the sand that we walked out of. It was absolutely incredible. You see, Jesus is turning the tide. And in this time, the Lord said to me this morning, he said, "Paul, you asked me to come and take over," which I do quite a bit. And I mean it, as far as I understand. But he said this morning, he said, "Are you really ready to let me come and take over?" That's what he said. That's what he said to me. He said, "Are you really ready to let me come and take over?" And I purposely hadn't answered that question yet because I thought, well, I've already told him. So there's obviously some stuff here that God, by his grace, is going to work because there's some amazing things that God wants to do. And if we'll let him come and... "Are you ready for me to come and take over?" So the very fact that he asked that question means probably I'm not quite ready for him to come and take over in the way that he intends. And it's a way of freedom. It's a way of incredible power. God wants to turn up the heat. He wants to turn up the fire on the inside of us so that we don't become passive or lukewarm believers. We've ditched all that stuff, but we're running hot for God. Amen. Do you agree? Yeah. We're running hot for Jesus. And, when Joshua went to Jericho, what did he do? They went around the city 7 days. They went once all the way around, blew the trumpets, quiet as mice. Then they the second day, the same thing. Third day, fourth, fifth, 6 days, they went around the city, the whole army, with the trumpet sounding. And on the seventh day, what did they do? They went around 7 times with the trumpets blast, and then they shouted. And the reason they shouted, because God told them to do it, but he was bringing a shout from heaven that broke something loose and broke something open. And I'm convinced, I have been for years, that shouting has a real place and needs to in your life. If you're not a shouter, you need to learn how to shout. And not just shout help when you're in trouble, but actually shouting the victory of Jesus. When I first got baptized in the Spirit, it was the most strange phenomenon that took place to me. I used to drive to work in the car, and I used to start praying in tongues, and I used to shout really, really loud. It shocked me. I thought, where did that come from? And God began to teach me, this shout is coming from my Spirit, because my Spirit will enable you to shout victory. It's part of your prayer life. It's part of your declaration. It's part of your victory. And so they shout. Joshua and all the people shouted, and what happened was the walls came down. Now, that's a picture in the Old Testament of what God wants to do in the New Covenant, that God wants us to shout as a church, is shout as people. Sometimes it's to shout the victory of Jesus. And you know, when Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, God just reminded me this just over a week ago. He said, when I was hanging on the cross, remember what happened? The last words that he spoke on the cross were what?
It is done.
It is done, or it is finished. If you read it in Luke's gospel, it says it was a loud shout with a loud voice. So if you put those two things together, he was saying, it is finished. It's done. It's complete. And he did it with a loud voice. And he was doing that when life was draining from him. His spirit was as strong as ever. His spirit was as strong as ever. And he shouted victory from the cross. That's why you and me are here today, because he shouted from the cross the victory, poured out his lifeblood so that we could be forgiven and washed and made into new creations and into this incredible season of grace, living by the grace of God, by his mercy and grace. And so this shout, now this morning, you may need to shout something this morning. That's why I'm talking to you about it. And I want us to, in a minute, just to stand to our feet. We're not going to take long about it, but if you need to see a victory in your life, or a victory perhaps in your home or your family, or maybe in the workplace, maybe in Crawley, maybe with a Muslim community, you can apply this wherever you want to. But this morning we're going to give a shout of victory. Is that all right?
Yes.
We're going to shout the victory of Jesus. Jesus shouted from the cross. He shouted something very specific, and you may need to shout something specific this morning. But in his name, we're going to shout the victory, and walls will come down. If you understand this, when we shout, it's like the voice of God coming through us. The Spirit of God comes through us. And when we shout, we release into the atmosphere the presence and the power of God. If you shout the name of Jesus, it will do the same work. So let's all stand to our feet, shall we? And if you know there's something you need to... We're not shouting, we're actually shouting his victory over lives this morning, over perhaps over an area, maybe over our nation this morning. But let's just begin to shout over this next minute or so. Just lift your voice and just begin to declare the victory over the cross. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Jesus! Jesus! It's your victory, Lord! Jesus! 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 Your victory, Jesus! Your victory, Lord! Jesus! Jesus! Your victory, Lord! Hallelujah! 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 And you need to maintain a shout. You know, you need to maintain the victory by shouting, not at God, but shouting really with God. God's a shouter. And you just release the victory. Okay, just take your seats. This needs to be a lifestyle that we need to know the right place to shout. Don't do it in the wrong place, will you? But do it in the right place. Let's go to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And this is all in the flow of what God is speaking to us about as a church and as a body in kingdom faith, and what he wants to do here in Crawley. I had some amazing opportunities this week to share the gospel with quite a number of people. And it's partly because... this prayer, this cry, God, here I am, send me. So keep praying that prayer. If you're ready, keep praying that prayer. Lord, here I am, send me, wherever you want to. And when you pray that prayer, it is a dangerous prayer, but it's a prayer of faith. Most prayers of faith are dangerous because you don't know where God's going to take you. You have an idea, but you don't know how everything's going to work out. But you know, if you trust God and you say, here I am, Lord, send me, he will. He will send you and he'll use you in the power of his spirit. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 14, we're going to read at verse 7. And you'll know this story well. We've read it probably a number of times, but I just felt God say, read it again. So it says, so Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher, or come forward, or take this higher position. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be, what does it say there?
Humbled.
Humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's a principle, isn't it? Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. You know when you ask someone round for a meal and they then say at the end of the meal, oh, we'll have to have you round. Have you done that? Nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is talking about here in this parable, he's saying, no, he says, this is where your focus needs to be. It's great to have people around, by the way. We need to do that a lot more than we do, all of us, myself included. It says in verse 13, when you give a feast, listen to this. God's speaking to some people here this morning. When you give a feast, some of you are in the habit of doing this anyway. You're already in the flow of this, but maybe some others of us need to catch up a bit. When you give a feast or a meal, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And let's go on to verse 15. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time and to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. What an excuse, eh? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is more room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and byways. It actually says hedges in the New King James Version. I see myself going to a few hedges now. So go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house, listen to this, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. What's God saying to us? He wants us to go out to bring in. He wants us to go out to bring in. He wants us to go out to bring in. He wants us to have this mentality, I'm going out to bring in. I'm going out to bring in. Bring in people into God's house, not talking about here, but into the life of the kingdom. It's talking about inviting people to know Jesus. And it's not just talking about people who are physically poor. It does include them. It's not just talking about people who are physically lame or crippled. This is talking about people who are crippled in all kinds of ways. It's talking about people who are in incredible needs. Jesus said, you're to go out to those people and invite them to my feast. And that needs to be our lifestyle. It needs to be how we think. It needs to be how we live, how we pray, how we do everything. That we've ditched this consumer mentality. Church is all about me, or it's all about what I can get. No, it's not. It's all about what we can give. We receive from him first. And out of our receiving from him, out of his word, out of receiving out of his amazing grace, out of meeting with him as we do when we worship. But the rest of the week really is about going out to bring in. God wants to change our thinking so that it doesn't become an addendum, whatever that is, something, an add-on. So, oh yes, I ought to go and tell someone about Jesus, or I know I should do, but I don't. This is saying this isn't optional. This is Jesus telling us, his servants, please will you go out and invite people to come to the feast. Look out for the hungry ones. Look out for the sick ones. Look out for the lame, the maimed, the crippled, those that are walking wounded. You haven't got to look far. You know, this week, as I was walking along Broadfield, Barton there, I spied a young man sitting at the table outside the cafe and said hello to him, and then found myself then sitting down with him and then talking to him. And, you know, a broken relationship, can no longer see his son, one very hurt man in deep depression. He's under the doctor at the moment. I just said to him, you know, Jesus is real. He's alive. and he can lift your depression from you, and he can heal you completely. You'd be surprised how many things I've seen him do for people who've been depressed and in depression. He can do the same for you. And we exchange numbers, and we'll be talking some more. He will be saved. Because I went out to bring him in. And this needs to be our whole new way of thinking. We have it in the church, and you've seen some of the new banners here. I think the one outside in the hallway says, "Know Christ, make him known." Let's not forget that. This is all about knowing him. Knowing Christ, the more you know him and know his love and power and grace in your life, you cannot but go out. You feel compelled to go out and share that love with other people. And, you know, in our everyday lives, in the workplace, in our homes, with our neighbours, where God sends us and other things, other opportunities that we have, we need to have this thinking, I'm going out to bring people into the feast. People need to come to this feast. And God's word is that he wants his house filled. So we will not be satisfied until the house is filled. Amen? He wants the house filled. And this outgoing spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit really flowing in us, this is what God wants to do. He wants to turn us inside out. We've often used that phrase, but literally he wants his spirit to turn us inside out so that we live for others. We're living for other people. We're living for him and we're living for others. And not just doing everything that other people want. We're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to go out to bring people in. And this is the feast. This is an amazing feast that Jesus has prepared. It's ready. Come, all things are now ready. There's nothing to add to what God has done. There's nothing to add. We've heard that again this morning. There's nothing to add. He's finished the work on the cross. His amazing grace and forgiveness flows from heaven to us and is flowing to a lost world. But we have to go out and share the gospel with people and not condemn them. No, we want to love them into his kingdom. We want to bring them. We want to tell them the good news. And we want to see that demonstration of his power at work where the physically sick are healed. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that happen. And God working miracles when we contact and communicate with people. That's the message that God has for us as a church this morning, my brothers and sisters. He wants us to be a people every day that I'm going out today to bring in. I'm going out to bring in. I'm disappointed if I haven't met with someone in a given day and shared the gospel with them. I'm disappointed. And God says, make the most of every opportunity that you have. So sometimes we have to make opportunities. Sometimes we think God will just turn up and do something for us. Well, he does. He does make opportunity. But sometimes we need to make an opportunity by the grace of God and follow the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes God says, now over to you. And you open up a conversation. You go and do something that will really bless somebody. And through that, you can invite them to come to the feast. Amen? Amen. God's challenging us as a church today. He's saying, listen, when you ask me to come and take over, are you ready? Are you really ready for what I'm about to do? Again, I just have this picture this morning, this wave coming in, and this wave wasn't about to stop. It was just coming in, very forcefully coming in, washing over. And it was the presence of God. And God said it wasn't doing damage. It was very strong. It had very strong currents of love as it washed over. And God was saying, that's the moving of my spirit. And you need to be ready to let me come and take over. And I'll surprise you about what I'm going to do. I'll shock you. You'll see me move in ways you've never seen before. Things that you've dreamt about, you'll see in these days where the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit is being poured out now.
Amen.
And if we will believe God and step into that, as it were, step into that river, step into that flow, you'll find that God will start flowing through you.
Amen.
It's a little bit like plugging yourself into the mains. You'll get a shock. If you put your fingers in that socket, you'll get a shock. When we plug into God, he will begin to flow through us in a greater measure, in a greater way. But we have to put ourselves out there. That's the cost. That's the cost bit. Sometimes we have to confront our own fears and the things that we don't want to do and call upon the grace of God. And his grace will enable us to do it, my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I'm so excited about what God is doing in our nation. I'm here. You probably hear different things going on around, but I'm excited about what God's doing here. I'm excited about what he's promised for us here in Crawley and for our region and all over this nation. I'm very excited because for those that hunger for the Spirit and those that are yielded to the Holy Spirit, there'll be no lack. There'll be no lack. We don't want to be in control. We want God to be in control.
Amen.
It's not about having clever structures and everything planned and boxed in. God actually flies away from that. But when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and let him really come, wow, things happen. We read about in the New Testament. That's what the New Testament is all about, is God coming and taking control. Let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just this morning, just thank him again this morning that Jesus is Lord and that he's given us the Holy Spirit, not by measure, not by part, but he's made everything available to you today. Everything that he is, everything that he has is yours today in Christ Jesus. Just lift your hands to him this morning and you just pray your own prayer. I'm not going to tell you what to pray, but you just pray your own prayer to him this morning. Just yield yourself to him, because God's saying to us, I want you to go out. I want you to go out with a message. I want you to go out with this heart to win people for me, to bring people in. The maimed, the lame, those that are crippled in their life emotionally and psychologically, Lord. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that as we yield to you, as I yield to you this morning, Lord, that as I surrender to you, I'm saying, Holy Spirit, please, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, I prayed again this morning. Here I am. Send me. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord Jesus. Use me and send me in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might have the joy in this church of seeing hundreds of people being added to your kingdom, seeing people being invited to the feast, people's lives being changed, Lord, because we dare to step out, Lord. Even every day we have a new view of our day that we're here, Lord. We're going out that we might bring people in. Father, we pray, Lord, that you turn up the fire in our lives, turn up the fire in our hearts, Lord, to run after you, Lord, by your grace, and to be filled with that spirit of grace and spirit of power, Lord, again today, Lord. Father, we can't do anything in our own strength. We're not going to even try to do that. But, Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, please come. Please come and take control in the way that you want to in my life, Lord. Please come and do your work through me, Lord, that others might find you to be the Saviour and Lord that you are. Lord God, work that in us as a church, we pray this morning. Work it in us today, Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The tide is turning, Lord. The tide is turning. The Holy Spirit is moving. Thank you. There's a new moving of you. There's a new movement. There's a new force of your love, of your grace, of your power coming. It's breaking down resistance. It's removing things that are hindering us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You come and possess us fully. Come and fill us. Come and overflow us, Lord, with your love and power, Lord. Cause us to know that power of you working in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And Father, thank you today, Lord. I go out, Lord, so I can bring in. Lord, I pray that will be our mission, Lord. Just say that with me. I go out to bring in. I go out to bring in. I go out to bring in. Bringing people into the feast. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's give him praise and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to finish with a song of worship and take up our morning offering as we do so. Do we have we've got Tim. Hallelujah. Look out for what God wants to do today. Amen. As we go out.
Amen.
And as we bring people into his kingdom. Let's worship the Lord Jesus.
Be high and lifted up. Sharing then, just felt God really say that, you know, Jesus, he was a carpenter, and he had tools, and he wants to use us as his tools to build up, just as he built things up, and he's going to use us to really build each other up and build people up in the faith. Amen.
Amen. Also, just before we finish this morning, Tim's going to give out just a few highlights, but just to mention, if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you've not received him, he's inviting you to the feast. What it really means to know him, be forgiven of your sin, be cleansed and make a brand new start. So if that's for you today, please, please come and talk to someone so they can tell you how you can know him, how you can give your life to him. And this week we have opportunities. Every one of us will have opportunities. We pray like this. I tell you, God will open up opportunities. It's not complicated. God will speak to you and speak to me and say, invite your neighbor around. Or go and do this for this person, or go to that place. Let him direct you this week by the Spirit and invite people to come. Amen. Look out for those that are in need of Jesus and go to them and win them for him.